my voice carried. My wife used to say, if we're in a department store and you're talking, all I've got to do is stop and listen. Wherever you are in that store, I'll find you. Because my voice carries, and I talk loud. And I have a very unique voice. I was born in Kentucky. Never have lost my accent, I guess. And as you'll probably see as I go along. And I was just sitting there thinking, you know, I spoke one time. When I get up like this, I usually get my testaments out, you know, that I want to talk about. And I was in Page one Sunday morning, and I forgot what kind of church it was. It was a big circular church, and a lot of people were there. And as I got these out, I told them, I said, now I have to get all these laid out here right, because I don't want to be like the cowboy that had four notches on his gun and one toe on his foot. they laughed, but there was a guy right in the center, right in front of me. Oh, he was a big guy, black beard. He never cracked a smile. And all the church was laughing. I mean, they laughed really. I couldn't understand. I said, it might have been a little funny, but it wasn't all that funny. But they just roared and roared. And I thought, what's going on here? Come find out that guy was a cowboy, been having a lot of trouble with his feet. And everybody knew that but me. So you never know, you know, who you're talking to when you get up front like this. I want to read a scripture over in Isaiah 55. If you'd like to follow along. This is one of the Gideon's favorite scriptures. Start 55, verse 7. 55, that's in the Old Testament, you know. All right. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, for he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. And I was thinking, as you're clapping your hands this morning, to the music, to the choruses, a lady in our church, she said, I don't know where they get this clapping their hand business. And I said, well, right there. But she said, well, how do trees clap their hands? And I said, do you ever hear of palm trees? So she didn't have any answer for that. But I enjoy speaking for the Lord, telling what God has done through the Gideons. You know, the Gideons are just normal, average, good-for-nothing people. No, they're not good-for-nothing. Some of us are better than others. But anyway, God has blessed us with a ministry, and this is my ministry, is getting the Word of God out. And like I say, I love to speak for the Lord. And I heard just lately about an undertaker that was changing jobs. And as he filled out the application, for on his new job, one of the questions that on the application said, what did you like about your previous job? He said, I liked working with people. So that's with me. I like working with people. So I want to talk to you a little bit about the Yins this morning and tell you about a guy I met over in California. His name was Sammy Contreras. He was from Colorado City, Texas. And his father had died 2 months before he was born, and his mother was having such a rough time that she took all the kids and went home to her mother. And when she got there, it was a little four-room house. There was a lot of them. A lot of the sisters and brothers were home, and there was 26 people in this four-room house. Now, if you can imagine that. That sounds like something back in Kentucky, you know. I've seen them like that. And there was constantly fighting. Kids were always fighting. The grandma tried to keep order around the house, but after a while, she just gave up. She said she'd whipped those kids so many times, and it didn't do any good. But when Sammy reached the age of 12, he would go into town. He'd see a car he liked. He'd steal it and bring it home. He'd just hotwire it, sick at 12 years of age. And at 16, he was wanted for arson. He was wanted for robbery. By 18, he'd gone get out of the state so he wouldn't get picked up by the cops. He went with his uncle to Kansas. He got in a lot of trouble there, had to leave Kansas. He went to Colorado. He got in a fight and stabbed the guy. And he had to run from Colorado. So he went back to Texas. He started a drug ring. He had about 90 men in his drug ring. And he had the largest drug ring between Arkansas and California. And he specialized in giving drugs to school kids. He would give them the drugs and get them hooked on them, and of course he could sell them to them. And so by the time that he was 25, he had spent half of his life in jail. He got married, thought that might change, but it didn't. And he kept on dealing in drugs, getting in trouble with the police. And at 26, he was in jail waiting to be sentenced. And he had all the charges were going to be brought into one charge. The judge said, we'll just give him one sentence. And his wife said that they're talking about that maybe just give you 25 years. Well, that's nothing much to look forward to, is it? But one day while he's in jail, here came a man into the jail, and he's handing out little books like this, what we call a personal worker's testament. And in the front of it has a lot of help. In the back it has a plan of salvation. And the one thing that Sammy loved to do better than anything else was play cards. And to punish him, because he was such a bad prisoner, they'd taken his cards from him. And he told these two guys in the cell with him, he said, some way or other, we are going to play cards. And so when he saw this Gideon came into jail one day, handing out these New Testaments, he thought, well, there is maybe something I can use. So he said, hey, can I have one of those? Sure. Gave him one. Can I have one for the other two guys? So they had three of them in his cell. So Sammy, he looked through here, and he saw it was in Spanish, and he saw the book of John. Of course, it said Juan. He said, hey, that's a good Spanish name. Let's look at that. So he looked at it, and he said, okay, we're going to play cards. So he tore out the pages of the book of John. And he took those pages and he shuffled them. And he had these guys tear out their pages. He said, here's how we'll do it. He said, what we'll do, I'll read one of these verses, and whoever finds it, that'll be a pair. So they worked on this. They devised a way to play cards with the New Testament. Just the book of John. So, as he was reading this, he came across it was his turn to read. And he read, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. And he's talking about that. Then a little while later, he read another verse. And he said, you must be born again. And after a while, the Holy Spirit began working on Sammy. Tears started running down his face. And the other guy says, what's wrong? He said, well, it must be some sand or dirt, dust or something going through here. And got something in my eye. He said, there's no sand or dust going through here. Said, come on, what's wrong with you? And he got mad. He said, get me out of this cell. I don't even want to be in here with these guys. So he went in, they put him in a cell by himself, and the Holy Spirit began working on him. Next thing you know, he's on his knees crying out to the Lord for help. And God came in and saved him. And then he listened. Over in the next cell, these other two guys, he could hear some sniffling and crying over there, and he knew what was going on. God saved those two guys also. And then in came his mom and his wife. He had never told his mother that he loved her in all of his life. But there was such a change in Sammy. You know, when God comes in, he gives you love. Amen. We just sing an old song, "Makes Me Love Everybody." Remember that? Well, that's what happened. He just loved everybody. He told the jailer. He says, "I love you. You're the best jailer in the whole state." And the jailer right away thought, "Something wrong with this guy." And he told his mom, "I love you, Mom." He told his wife, "I love you." And they couldn't get over that. He was so full of God's love. He just loved everybody. And they said, "Sammy, we think you're going to get off for 25 years. He said, "It's okay." He said, "I deserve it." He said, "Whatever they give me, it's all right with me." So he took me in the courtroom, and the attorney and the judge, they're over there talking. And they're looking at him. And he says, "I love everybody. I love you, judge. I love you, attorney. I love everybody." And they couldn't get over that. What a change in this guy. And so they talked a little while, and they told his wife and his mom, "Get that guy out of here. We don't want to ever see him in jail again." Well, they took him out, and so Sammy started going to church. And now Sammy is a pastor. He's on the city council in Colorado City, Texas, and the mayor and the councilman have all become Christians. 61 of the 90 gang members have become Christians, and so they are pastors, deacons, evangelists, strong leaders. His wife is happy, said his mom is glorifying God and praising him. His son has become a policeman, he said, of all things. They have one school teacher, one became an engineer, and his daughter became a nurse. Sammy holds 36 revivals a year. Last year he baptized 600 inmates in the prison. So he has a prison ministry working for the Lord. And one little book now, no preacher preaching to him at all. Just this one little book, and then one book inside this little book, the book of John, it did the job. You know, this Bible has power. It's the living Word of God. It speaks to your heart. I know, sometimes I'll be reading, I just tell my wife, I say, "You know, I had never seen this before. I've read this chapter over and over and over, but that's the first time I ever noticed that." You ever do that? Just seem like that whatever the circumstance, God will just sort of make it jump out at you. And I said, "It seems like God's almost rewriting this just to help me." And I find these scriptures, and they just speak to my heart. I found a scripture in 2 Timothy. One day I was pretty discouraged. I'd been up to Winslow and Holbrook trying to get a Gideon camp going up there. We used to have one, and a lot of people, they dropped out. And I tried to work with the pastors up there. And we had written something like 40-some letters. And we got one reply, and it was negative. And so we tried to call them. And we couldn't get a hold of a lot of them, bad phone numbers, and a lot of them wouldn't return calls. So I said, "I'm going up there. I want to see if they're having churches in Holbrook and Winslow." So I went up there 3 weekends, and I just visit churches and talk to the pastors. How about letting you get in and come in and speak? And do you have any man that's qualified? Well, I didn't get a lot done. In fact, one of the biggest churches up there said, "No, we're not interested in letting you come in. If we let you come in, then some of the rest of them want to come in, you know, and we don't really need all that." And so I was reading my Bible one day, and I read this scripture in 2 Timothy 1, 8, 9, 10. And what it says essentially is that the grace of God has been available since before the beginning of time, and it's been made so that we can understand it through the life of Jesus Christ and through his holy word. And I thought, well, you know, sometimes we try to do the work of the Holy Spirit. We want to make things happen. You know, and I thought, well, you know, if the grace of God has been available since before the beginning, it's going to be available after everything is stopped. And I said, my little life, if I lived to be 100 years old and I put it on God's timeline, it wouldn't even show up. And why am I so concerned to get this going right now? I want to work in God's time plan. I said, when he gets ready for things to happen up there, he'll let me know. And I said, I just do what I can do, pray, be available. And then when it comes time for us to get a hitting camp going up there, then God will let it happen. He'll make it happen. But sometimes we want things to happen. We want to see it done right now. But it just, that verse just let me know, hey, just be patient. Take it easy. God will work it out. And just be available. And so that helped me so much to know that the grace of God has always been there. And it will be there when I need it. And it's for the grace of God that we're here today, isn't it? Well, you know, over in little town in El Salvador, the Gideons were distributing the Word of God. And they were giving out these little, we call these sidewalk tests, because we can't get into schools anymore. However, in El Salvador, they were getting into the schools. And these Gideons had distributed, they had two sessions, the morning and the afternoon session. So they went that morning and they distributed these Gideon Testaments, the school testament we call it. And then they went back that afternoon, and as they entered that little village, they saw scattered all over the place, someone had taken about 20 or 25 of these, just pouring the pages out and let the wind blow them. And it kind of discouraged them a little bit, but they went ahead and made their distribution that afternoon. And so as they went out of town, they were about 2 miles out of town, they stopped at a place to get something to drink. And sitting on the step of this little store was a guy about 30 years of age. And he appeared to have been drinking, but he had one sheet, one page, out of this little testament he had picked up while he was in the village. And he was sitting there and he was reading that, and he was crying. God was working on his heart. And Gideon saw that. Well, what are you going to do? And he stopped and see if he can help him. And they led him to the Lord. He accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. And standing just inside the store was this boy's dad. Now, they hadn't spoken for years. And the father said, I would like to also receive the Lord Jesus. And when the Gideons left, father and son were hugging each other and asking forgiveness of each other for what had happened years before. See how God's word will do the job. Just one sheet. And, you know, and I always wondered, did God have somebody tear those pages out? I don't know. His ways are higher than our ways, and his ways are past finding out. We don't know that, but we know that his word will not return void. And this is what I always say, when I put a Bible in a motel, how many of you ever stay in a motel and check if there's a Bible there? Nearly always check. I heard a lady speak, she lives in Lake Havasu today, she's a prostitute. And she said she used to go to the motels and meet men there all the time, that she always checked to see if there was a Bible. Never opened it, but she always checked to see if there was a Bible in that motel room. And then the day came when she was ready to, she was going to kill herself. And she said she took the Bible and said, Lord, if you can help me, please help me. Said she just let it fall open like that. And it fell open over in Jeremiah where it says, when you seek me with your whole heart, you will find me. And said she dropped to her knees and God came into her heart and mind. And she's working over there today with her husband in one of those churches. But God's word will not return void. And I just wonder, you know, did God have somebody tear those pages up and let them, or Bibles, and let them scatter all over? I don't know. But I said, whatever he wants to do is okay with me. You know, I'll just go right along with it. Now, over in Siberia, in a prison, a prisoner came into the jail, in the prison there, and caused such a problem that they called the Gideons. And here's what had happened. The Gideons had not been able to get into that prison, but this prisoner came in with one of these little testaments he had gotten somewhere. And every one of the other prisoners wanted to read it. They would give up a meal so they could have that little testament for an hour or half an hour. And they were stealing it from each other so they could read it. And then the one that was stealing would get beaten up because he'd stolen that testament. And so they finally asked the guy that owned it, well, can you just get us all together and read it to us? So the jailer said, well, there's just one way out of this. I'm calling the Gideons. And so the Gideons came and distributed a testament to each one of the prisoners. And I just thought, how many Bibles we have in our homes? How many different versions and translations? And there's people around the world today that don't even have one word of Scripture in their language. You know, and I thank God for the work the Wycliffe's do in translating. Because, you know, we're in 175 countries, and we distribute Bibles in 77 different languages. Last year, we distributed over 56 million Bibles around the world in those 175 countries. And I figured that out, and I said, well, you know, 175 or 56 million, I said, now if your heart beats 70 times a minute, which is pretty normal, I think, and I said, it would be 36,792,000 times in 1 year. That little old thing's really ticking along there, isn't it? And I just thought, now, if your heart's beating 36 million times, and we gave out over 56 million scriptures last year, that's almost two every time your heart beats. So I think, does your heart beat for souls? And you just think, you feel your heart beating every time that little burger beats, there's two scriptures going out. Two scriptures getting into someone's hand. And you know, and God has said, my word will not return unto me void. So we know that he will honor his word. And I know that when I place a Bible in a motel, I don't have to worry, is somebody going to read this? Is someone going to get saved? Because God has already promised that my word will not return unto me void. I don't know when, where, who, how, but I know it will happen. Because God said it would. And we can believe it. If God said it, I believe it. That's enough. You know, just believe what God says. And you have faith to believe that. Now, you as the church support this. And there's three ways you can support us as Gideons. You can pray for us. We definitely need your prayers. We got men in countries that's very dangerous areas. So pray for those Gideons as they travel. And a lot of times they're taking their life in their hands when they're out there distributing scriptures. And you know, one thing I used to always say, well, you know, I believe the time of the coming of Jesus Christ is very close. And then I get to reading, you know, that the Jesus video worked. The soul that's being saved through the Jesus video. And a lot of Muslims are coming to the Lord because of that. And in fact, there was a guy from Arkansas went to a Muslim country, and he said their car, they went as far as they could go in their car. Then they got a wheelbarrow, and they put the Bibles in it, and they pushed it on in. They came to a big opening, and there was a school, Muslim school, at 4,000 students. And he said, can I distribute these testaments? They said, well, you could, but it'll do no good because these kids are Muslim. They won't accept it. He said, how about just give me a chance? So they lined them all up outside, and he said, out of 4,000 students, 3,997 took scriptures. And then you think, well, what's that going to do? These kids will take that scripture home, and their parents will also read it, their brothers or sisters or aunts or uncles, grandma and grandpa. But when you give out a scripture, you don't know how many people are going to be affected by that. And so anyhow, these Muslim countries, a lot of them are coming to the Lord. A lot of Muslims getting saved. A lot of Jewish people getting saved. I met a guy I was fishing up on the rim one day, and a Jewish guy. I said, I got a guy fishing with me. This wasn't in my talk. Well, I'm going to tell you this. This guy fishes with me. He tries to be an atheist. He's one of, you know, he puts up a front, you know, so that you won't talk to him about the Lord. You've seen those kind of people. And so we got there one day, we go fishing, and the fellow was leaving, and he said, I have 8 trout. He was already in trouble, he only allowed 6, you know. But he had 8 trout, and he said, you got to have these? And so I told my buddy Wally, I said, no, let's take them, maybe we'll find somebody that'll catch him, maybe they can use them. But anyway, I took them a little while, and I said, I'm going to take these up, put them in the car, and put them on ice, you know, so they don't spoil. And so as I got to my car, here came a guy from the other side of the lake, and he was driving one of these big Hummers. You've seen those Hummers, big, wide things. And I said to him, boy, you got a lot of money tied up in that, haven't you? He said, $125,000. I said, that much? Yeah. And he said, now, if I came up this road, he said, I got a button on there. I pushed the button, and I let some air out of the tire so it won't be bouncing all over the place. Then when I go back out, I push another button, I'll come back up. Wow. Said, I got a global positioning indicator on it. I know where I am all the time, and all kinds of stuff, you know. And so I said, he said, what you got in that bag? I said, I've got 8 trout. He said, you know, I have fished all morning. I haven't had a bite. And I've got my aunt and uncle here from New York. They're in the motel down there waiting on me to come back with some trout so we can have a fish fry. I haven't had a bite. I said, here, you got 8 trout. Now you can have a fish fry. But I said, well, one thing, though. Since I gave you these trout, I want to eat him something else. So I opened the car and I got him EWT. And I was showing him that, and he saw it was God's word. He starts saying, oh, praise the Lord. You know, he said, glory. I said, oh, you're a born-again Christian, because I figured he was either Italian or Jewish. I couldn't tell which, but I figured he's Catholic or Jewish. And I said, well, now, I didn't figure you were a born-again Christian. He said, oh, I am. I said, aren't you Jewish? He said, I'm Jewish. And he said, I said, well, now just tell me, how did all this happen? And he said, well, I was in a terrible car accident. He said, I had a vision. And I got to thinking about it, and I thought, he must have had an out-of-body experience, because he said, I was like a little kid, and I was lying on this lady's lap. And said, as I was lying there, said, someone behind her came around and took me by the hand. And he said it was Jesus Christ. So this lady must have been his mother. And said, he said to me, I've got to take you back. You're going back. And so he said, he took me by the hand, and he led me back. And I came to. And so I said, he must have had an out-of-body experience, is all I can figure. But here he was, a Jewish. He said, how can I not believe in Jesus Christ after that? He said, you look at me today, and he said, I look healthy. But says, I have a morphine pump built in here that I have to keep pumping in morphine so I can keep operating. He said, every bone in my body seemed like it was broken in that accident. And he said, I'm in really in terrible shape, but just because of the morphine. So I gave this to him, and he was praising God. And then I went back down to my atheist buddy, and I said, Wally, do you believe in divine appointments or intervention? He said, you gave the fish away, didn't you? I said, yeah, I sure did. I said, now you just think. And so I told him what happened. And he said, well, that was coincidence. I said, you know, a coincidence is when God's working undercover. You don't know. He's not advertising that it's him, you know. But I said, you know, if I'd gotten there 5 minutes later, that guy would have been gone. If I'd gotten there 5 minutes earlier, he wouldn't have been there. So I said, God had me to go just at that moment so I could give him those fish and give him God's word, you know. But God is working, and God will use his word in the places where we can't even imagine. So I want you to pray for us. I want you to lift us up, you know, and remember these guys that are in the foreign countries that's hurting and that's in danger. And also, I want to tell you that every cent that you give to buy Bibles will be used to buy Bibles and distribute them. And if you're qualified, you can become a Gideon. We need a lot of Gideons because, you see, a lot of us are getting gray and bald and getting old and decrepit and all that good stuff, you know. So we need a lot of help. And so this is a ministry, and if you want a ministry and work for the Lord, you can work for the Gideons. One thing I want to mention to you before I quit is these cards, and I'm sure you got a rack in the back there. And there's two cards, in memory and in honor. And you can place Bibles in memory of someone that has gone on, and they will still be getting saved and winning people even after they're gone to heaven. You know, my wife died, that'll be 12 years, January. And I placed Bibles in memory, our anniversary, her birthday. And I know that would make her happy because she loved the Lord so much. And like I've prayed so many times, you know, Lord, I don't understand this. Why? Why did you take her? Somebody said, you shouldn't ask God why. I said, if he can't handle my questions, he's not a very big God. And I heard a preacher say one time, God won't, he probably won't tell you why. He'll just say because. You know, like, you know, kids will do you sometimes. Why'd you do that? Cause, you know. But God has his reasons, and we don't understand these things. But we know we can be ready to go. And then if you want to honor somebody with an anniversary, a birthday, new baby, or whatever. My brother in Kentucky, he had a 50th wedding anniversary. And I placed Bibles in honor of their 50th wedding anniversary. And I said, well, if he hasn't got it made but now, he's not going to make it. So I'll just place Bibles in honor of his anniversary. And then I have some envelopes, too, if you didn't come prepared to give. And just ask me for one of these. They're already stamped, so you can just mail it in then. And I just want to tell you that I appreciate your attention. If you're interested in joining, I got these little brochures here you can read about the Gideons. So I'll turn it back over to Wild Bill. Thank you.